Okay, and welcome back. We began the week with Dr. Gwen Scott, and no better way to wind it up on Friday with a part two visit by Gwen Scott. Are you there, Gwen?
I am, but I have to tell you, Jeff, I'm in the middle of one of the most intense and fierce storms I've ever encountered, so if we lose contact, just call me back and I'll pick up my landline, okay?
What are you on now?
I'm on a portable.
Okay. Yeah,
because you can hear me better on that.
Yeah, same phone number, right?
Pardon, yes.
Okay.
So I just want a heads up because it's really wild out there.
What's it doing out there?
Oh, it's doing everything these guys ever created. It's going in all directions. It's coming from nothing that's natural, which would be cumulus nimbus. A huge amount of chemtrail, enormous energy in this one.
Huh.
Like I've never seen before.
Wow. Well, so, coming from you, that's quite a bit. You see weather down there, too. Is it raining?
Yeah. Oh, yes. That part is, you know, what's the content of the rain, we don't know. But the actual energy is really high.
Mm-hmm.
So just a heads up.
Thank you. We got it. Okay. Now, we talked about an awful lot on Monday in the middle hour of the program. This is part two, and then we're going to take more time and cover things you didn't get to spend as much time as you might have liked to, and whatever else you would like to talk about. So I'm going to kind of turn it over to you and just follow along.
Okay, let me ask you, and please forgive my, you know, not knowing, but do we need to go back and review, or what do we need to do?
Oh, if you want to, just a little bit, spend a couple of minutes. We ended up with the grape juice, the organic grape juice test.
Right, right. I hope a lot of your listeners did that, because that is a turning point for people who perceive that there's a group of people out there with this strange and unusual disease, and then there's me.
Mm-hmm.
And Clifford Carnicom very clearly presented that that's not true. He's done enough blood sampling statistically to push it out to all of us plus, and that secondly, and very importantly, that whatever it is people are presenting that we know as Morgellons, the sores, the eruptions, whatever,
uh-huh.
It does not correlate to the amount of these materials that he's finding in their blood. In other words, you can be fully loaded and be presenting nothing discernible. But I would like to take it a little bit further in thought that you might be presenting in a different way.
Okay.
That you may not recognize as having anything to do with these materials. And that's something we need to talk about, because I've been saying a lot lately, all roads lead to Rome. And there's so many quote-unquote conditions out there of unknown cause.
Mm-hmm.
And when we begin to look at the elements being delivered to us, and I am very clear now that the chemtrails are just the latest, most efficient delivery system. But
mm-hmm.
That many of these materials, probably post-World War II for sure, maybe even before, began to enter in through inoculation.
Now, if that's true, Gwen,
yeah?
Human bioscience was 50 years ahead back then of what anyone could even guess, if that's true. Unless
yeah.
we had some help from some off-planet intelligence, some guidance, shared technology, we don't know. Because
no.
this stuff is awfully damn sophisticated for 1945 to 1955 vintage science.
Mm-hmm. I always look at the simple to me, I go to the simple. And you look at, I grew up with this old big old black telephone that you dialed, you know.
Yeah.
Now we have these little tiny things that, you know, basically cook your dinner. How did we go?
No, you mean they cook your brain.
Yeah, really, that too. Yes, and they toast your bones.
Yep.
We know that now. They destroy bone density.
Yep.
And so all you
yep.
guys walking around very proudly with that cell phone on your hip, get it off.
Yeah, get ready for a hip replacement.
Really, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there seems to be, whoops. There seems to be a giant leap that took place. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
there does.
Yep.
There does seem to be that leap.
A quantum leap, as they say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit huge. Yes. So that we don't know. I mean, that's not a, we don't know. But we do know this. None of these materials, and this is current, all of the materials that were given to Clifford Carnicom, the fibers, the metals, the polymers, all the materials that were found environmentally coming down through the air are exact matches, and he's made that very clear, to the materials that we're looking at in blood. And so we have to remember these are very fine submicroscopic particulates that are easily absorbed through the lungs into the blood and systemic to the whole body. Unless those people don't realize that, we've so disconnected from that knowledge that air, I mean, we can go weeks without food, days without water, but we really can't go very long without air.
No.
And that everything we breathe in, and you know, we're unmonitored. We have no clue. We do know through some research and some collection and blah, 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 blah. But that can change on a dime. There's no oversight. Materials are coming in, and with every breath we take, it's very sinister.
To put it mildly.
Yes. And, you know, Clifford and I spoke at a conference in Los Angeles, and the way he opened his presentation was so touching to me. Because Clifford really understands that, yes, humans are very important, and we love humans, but there's a lot of other life here in jeopardy. And he pointed out something I did not know, that in the last 10 years, we have lost more species off this planet than in the entire recorded human history.
Correct.
So we got to remember that. And we're losing trees in huge proportion. And just yesterday, a friend of mine said, you better protect your basil. And I was like, what? Oh, yes, there's a fungus out there destroying basil. Could that be the same fungus that's destroying the Tasmanian devils, the bats, the frogs? You know, come on, these materials.
No one's testing. No one's cross-testing to find out. That's a very good question you just raised. Yeah.
No, they're not.
And that's a no-brainer. They should be doing that.
They just keep saying this unusual, you know.
Right, right.
Fungus that, you know, blah, 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 but there's exactly. Yeah.
There's a major tree die-off in Georgia going on now. I mean, there's blights everywhere. The planet is in really a terrible convulsion right now.
Yes.
And it's going to get worse.
Yes. Well, unless we all kind of wake up, you know, and really, and people say to me, well, what can I do? Well, there's lots of things. We talk about that later. But there are things you can do. Don't, you know, what is that old saying? You know, evil can only triumph when good people do nothing.
Something like that.
Well, hello. Mm-hmm. There are things. You're doing it. We're all trying to do our part, but everybody has a part. You know, a gentleman called me and he said, you know, I read your papers. I don't know what I can do, and I don't know. And he said, it dawned on me. I write poetry. So he wrote a poem to all the pilots who really... Mm-hmm. Most of them probably well-intended, think they're serving country, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And basically telling them, guess what? You know, you're killing your children, you're killing your grandmother, you're killing your wife. And he handed it out as best he could at every Air Force base he could find, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he could do. There's lots of things we can do. We can be creative, but what we don't want to do is sit by and go, well, it'll take care of itself. Think Germany, 1930s. You know, it doesn't take care of itself.
No, I think of the Soviet Union and Germany. So many examples in the past when good people did nothing. Good people just waited for others to step up and take care of business.
Yep.
And as the old expression goes, and then they finally came for me and there was no one else left.
Exactly.
And hold on. We'll break here and come right back with Dr. Gwen Scott, naturopathic doctor, in just a couple minutes. Okay, back with Dr. Gwen Scott. All right, young lady, go right ahead.
Thanks for the young.
Anytime.
Okay, so we were basically last time we spoke, we were talking about this quote-unquote Morgellons disease, and I was saying it's not a disease, And let me show you how I know that. Mm-hmm. And please, I would ask people to go back and review all of that conversation. It's pretty clear once you do that you'll see through the work of many, many brilliant scientists, Clifford Carnicombe, Dr. Mike Castle, John Maluski, many others. I even have a lady in Detroit who's in a wheelchair, a polio survivor, fixed income, living in the most hard-scrabbled neighborhood, saved her pennies, went out and bought a microscope. And so it isn't just these credentialed, well-known people. There are so many good souls out there doing the work.
I call them citizen scientists.
Yes. And some of their work is profound. There's a fellow who goes by the name of Blue, B-L-U-E, and he's a surveyor, but he has done some very valuable critical work. So,
look at the work Jan Smith has done. My goodness.
Gotta give credit to these people who just got on fire and dedicated themselves and were innately bright and don't need all the credentials. Bottom line is, you asked me a question when we first spoke, we first met, and it was a very important question, and I wanted to be deliberate in my answer, so I thought about it. I didn't answer you then. And you said, well, look, there's so many easy ways to kill us. Why this? I mean, there's so many more efficient.
Oh, yeah.
So I think I have the answer for you, Jeff.
Okay.
First of all, when you do a firing squad, let's look at the Ukraine. When you do a firing squad kind of thing, it's very unsettling to people. It's very obvious to people. The source is very obvious. Creates panic. You got to control that on and on and on. But let's say you create some system where there are all these different parts, and you lay it into people, and everybody's going to demonstrate differently.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's not going to fall down So then it's kind of mysterious. Where does MS come from? Unknown. Fibromyalgia. Autoimmune disease. We don't know. Okay? So there's no smoking gun for most people. There's no panic, and there's no need to control that. Secondly, I would submit to you, there is enormous profit in making people ill, sick, in pain, on and on. Joyce Riley told me, I did not know this, the number one prescribed drug in this country is a painkiller. Now, folks, health is normal. Illness, pain, all abnormal. And yet,
well, it used to be abnormal. Now, sorry, it's reversed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I want to say something, if I might, Gwen. The American population, and probably the populations of other Western nations, for example, we have an unknown epidemic. We have more than one, but the biggest unknown epidemic in this country is hepatitis C. People are asymptomatic for 10, 15 years. They don't know they have it. They are communicable every step of the way, and it's just a breath of air with some aerosolized particulates that can spread it, a kiss, sharing a sandwich, sharing a glass, a bottle, whatever. It's very simple to spread hepatitis C. So there's another one. Now, we got 25 to 50 million people that have it. That's the ballpark. Boy, we love those sports analogies. The ballpark estimate, somewhere between 25 and 50 million. No one knows because they're not testing and no one's talking. When they get it and they're told they have it, most people, I submit to you, will not remove themselves from endangering others. They do not want to give up their good time. They say, to hell with it. I'm going to live my life and have as much fun as I can. That's the nature of most people now. It's very trite, very superficial, very self-absorbed, and narcissistic. So they don't care. So we are a populace, I think, literally swimming in true disease and then unknown afflictions and infestations, the likes of which you're discussing with Morgellons.
Right. Well, you're bang on right, I'm sorry to say. I'd love to argue with you, but you're so totally right about that. I was really interested. I don't know if you know this gentleman, a man named Wayne Blakely, has a probiotic formula that was brought to me, through Joyce Riley. And I have a lot of stuff brought to me, and I'm very skeptical.
Oh, imagine. Yeah.
So I spent a couple of 3 hours on the phone with this man. I found him to be quite amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that he pointed out to me is that you can trace bacteria and its genealogy, so to speak, all the way back, as far as you want to go. But virus, which you were just referring to, hep C, they have none of that, which would imply that what we have assumed and been told all along may not be true at all. All of these things may have been created in somebody's lab.
Uh-huh.
So that's
well, unless they go back and start testing mummies for any kind of residual bacterial and viral infestations and infections, that's one key. They're fairly well preserved, so I don't know what they're finding. I don't know if they're even looking.
I don't know either. You know, I think about why, because I've noticed a very strange and unusual phenomenon, which I really haven't presented before, but I will.
Hold on to it right there, Gwen. We'll jump right into that in just a couple of minutes. So, yeah, we do know they've gone back to the 1918 so-called Spanish influenza and dug up bodies and for some strange reason, pulled that virus out and have genetically engineered and taken it apart, played games with it, and done lots of other things we'll never find out about. Okay, back in just a minute. We've got to run. Gwen Scott is our guest. Talking with Dr. Gwen Scott, the final Friday of July. July is gone. All right, Gwen, go right ahead, please.
Something that was interesting and curious to me, but very important, recently released very quietly by the World Health Organization, oxymoronics that they are, that lung cancer is now the number one cause for mortality globally.
Wait a minute.
Kid,
I had no idea.
Absolutely.
I would have guessed malaria.
Exactly. Anything but that. Heart, cardiovascular, we've been told, blah, blah, blah. It's lung cancer. And it's kind of interesting because going all the way back to the beginning of when Clifford and I started doing our work together, he said the first thing you're going to see, and I agreed with him completely, is respiratory failure because it makes perfect sense. We're breathing in these fine particulates, and please refer back to our Monday program, all the stripes and types.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking toxic metals, these fibers, pseudo life forms. We have polymer, all kinds of things coming in a very fine particulate way. And as Clifford pointed out early on, statistically, the more particulate in the air supply, mortality rates go up concurrently. That's just a fact. But this was a surprise in the sense that most of us believe lung cancer, we've been taught, is directly related to smoking of tobacco. And yet, these people, they went on to say, this lung cancer, 70% had never smoked. Well, now that gets really curious. It's almost like smoking would be an anti-lung cancer therapy. And I would concur, except not commercial, chemicalized, poison tobacco.
Now, Gwen, excuse me, is this worldwide fairly equal in every country?
That's what they're saying. Now, these are the kings of disinformation.
Yeah.
I would assume because they slid this in so quietly that it's probably true.
Got it.
But there's no flags around it. It's just this is what's true now. There was a gentleman I saw years ago saying that respiratory disease and mortality had gone from number 8 to number 3. Well, now we're being told lung cancer, number one cause of death worldwide. Okay, how does that happen? Well, it's easy. When you're breathing in these very toxic materials every day with every breath, what's going to be insulted first?
Well, of course, front line of defense
system.
Is right there, sure.
So we have to unlink our conditioning to, what's happening. And so I say this because I believe very similar to what the Chinese are doing in terms of turning weather modification into a very positive, where, you know, oh, this is great. I have a deep belief that in this country there is a move very soon to legalize the spraying of these materials into our air with the idea this is for our good and we can prevent flooding and blah, 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 blah. And so I would really encourage people to understand not to buy that, you know, for your good, because none of this on any level is for anybody's good, but in terms of personal health, it certainly isn't.
Well, I agree. It's amazing to hear, because I don't frankly know anybody who's dying of lung cancer right now. I know people who have many other kinds of, well, you're a doctor. I just don't run into it.
But I would submit to you, throw it out to me, we can play a game. Name a disease, I'll tell you its source. All roads lead to Rome, in essence. Now, with that said, we have to understand what we eat, what we think, what we do, the water we drink, all of that has meaning. But when you look really closely to the cancer rate, all cancers, and you look at these autoimmune diseases, and you look at these the MS and the ALS and Parkinson's, and you look at the joint disease, a picture begins to come together. Fibromyalgia, unknown cause. You begin to see a correlation between the materials which we outlined coming into the body, going straight through the lungs, into the bloodstream, and these conditions. Now, I was talking to a surgeon not too long ago, mm-hmm. and he was telling me on the QT, not allowed to use his name, that in the operating room, they're opening people up, and there's so much fungal matter, they can't find the organs. They just close them back up again.
Well, now, okay. Is it fungal matter or is it mucus? Because we know mucus can pervade the entire inner body, and if one simply stops dairy products, you'll lose about a gallon of mucus over the first 7 to 10 days, and that's not in your throat and your nose, that's in your internal organs. It's everywhere.
Well, that's true, too, but I would tell you, if you take what we're calling mucus and you put it under a microscope...
That's where I was going. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll see that there's more to it than the normal organic mucus. You will see polymer for sure. Lights up like a Christmas tree, almost a crystalline, back to Marcel Vogel.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but...
I've heard of him. It's a great medium.
Yeah.
It's a medium for a lot of things, and I think it's a corollary for many other issues that we don't even know about.
Yeah, I mean, his work is very fascinating to me because I see a lot of his work. He did go, in fact, to work for IBM into what I'm looking at today, which is this sort of crystalline, I don't know. But if you look at what you can cough up or blow out of your nose under a microscope, you will see it kind of lights up like a Christmas tree. It's not your normal... what your body would create for the most part. The sad fact is, barium, which is very heavy in this chemtrail thing, is a cough suppressant. That's one of its main properties. And so people aren't coughing. They aren't getting rid of. So that's something that people really need to pay attention to. I recommend things like tea tree therapy, inhaling tea tree oil, getting that steam in there. I do recommend smoking herbs, spearmint, mullein, comfrey, colt's foot, herba santa, things like that.
Any problem with marijuana?
Personally, it's a plant. Mm-hmm. I would say it's very important how it's grown.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's very important what it was grown in.
Right.
But it is a plant that's been used medicinally for millennium.
It's also very important what kind of papers you use to wrap it in, if you're going to smoke it wrapped like a cigarette, because as we know, cigarette papers contain apparently over 1,000 different chemicals.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's
unbelievable. And now, unbeknownst to most of us, Barack Obama I didn't know this until I talked to the lady at the tobacco store, because I smoke a pipe occasionally, it's good, that all of the papers now have what they call fire suppressant chemicals in them.
Sure, no, they're loaded, they're deadly.
They're deadly. So
yeah, I suspect the papers are at least as guilty as the tobacco and nicotine,
right,
if not more
pipe.
So. Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hold on. Back with Dr. Gwen in just a couple. Okay, back with Dr. Gwen Scott, talking about all kinds of things. All right, we have just one segment left. How do you want to approach this in terms of kind of recapping what Clifford's saying and what you've been saying and what I've been saying, to not quite to the degree that you two are and others, but it is worldwide. It is on all seven continents. It may be in virtually everybody on the planet, it being Morgellons. And there are, again, many facets and different kinds of objects, items, configurations, knickknacks, all kinds of things that are into this basket that we call Morgellons. And what they're all in there to do is anybody's guess. But they're there, and there are, I had a chance meeting with a dark field microscopy expert, and he said he's been doing that, I forget, 25, 30 years? He said he is seeing things in blood now that look like they're out of a science fiction movie. He doesn't believe what he's seeing. He said, this stuff shouldn't be there. I don't know what the hell it is. It's actually scaring him. And he did, when he began to present it to the feds, he got a phone call. And they said, you better stop talking about it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, this is what Clifford has clearly presented time and time again, is that, we have serious problems going on in our blood. I guess what I would want to say is we all have to understand that these materials have been delivered to all of us, and that is a red herring to separate a group who happens, whose bodies may be doing just the right thing and pushing these materials out, which are no good, do not belong, make you sick, blah, 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 and we then victimize them further by saying, oh, well, you have a depressed immune system and you've got this weird and strange disease, but gosh, good golly gee, I don't. Well, the fact is, if we're looking at pure science, you do. And again, I would invite anybody who questions that, particularly those who might be involved, ideologically from a place of they think they're doing a good thing. It's a simple thing. You can do it in the privacy of your own home, is do the organic, and not Welsh's, it has to be true organic, grape juice swishing test, which we talked about in our first conversation.
Let's tell them again, just briefly, what is
it?
Get
is
a white
a wake
bowl.
Up call, assuming that your teeth are still in your head.
Yeah.
If you've had your teeth extracted, of course, it won't work. There's no avenue. But if your teeth are still in your head, right now, Knudsen's Just Concord is the best one I found, but there are others. You need to get it from a health store. Because I see that Welsh's is another conventionals, they're putting out organic and they're not really, doesn't work. But swish your mouth like you would with mouthwash, 20, 30 seconds, spit into a white bowl or sink, do it again, do it 8-10 times, and see what you see. You say, well, what is that? Go to Clifford Carnicom's website and you can get to see them very upfront and personal, 7 to 10,000 X. Now, with that said, when you're done, be sure you clean in, your mouth and clear your mouth and rinse and rinse and rinse until you don't see anything. If you continue it with a therapy, you may lose your dental work, even your teeth. So you can decide about that. But it's really important to understand there is no us and them. It's all of us. We're in it together. We need to address it. But I don't want to end on a negative note in the sense that I just heard in the last break about oxygen, how critical. And I work with a research doctor, and he said, you know, Gwen, it's a miracle. Any of us are still walking and talking. And I said, why do you say that? And he said, well, you know, in the old days when I was in a lab working with mice and we wanted to put them down humanely, we would give them 20 oxygen, 80% carbon dioxide. They go to sleep. He said, with his words, with little pink cheeks, just go to sleep. He said, we're operating on less than that right now. So there's some miracle going on as well. And that's just the oxygen levels. Consider all the toxic particulates coming in, and the food chain, and the water, and I can go on and on. And yet here we are. So that's a miracle,
mm-hmm.
that we're still, any of us are still standing. So we have to keep that in mind, that there are things other than all of this negative, negative, negative. There is something at work that we're all still here, but that doesn't mean we can be complacent. We need to stop this, not mitigate. We've been talking, Jeff, for two programs about mitigating the effects of this toxin and that, 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 that. No, we have to stop it. And you say, well, gosh, how do you do that? Well, one of the people I most admire is Dr. Mike Castle. And in 2003, and it's been updated two or three times, he submitted a Unified Atmospheric Protection Act. Now it's 2008. And it was a demand for a clean column of air, for this stuff to go away. And he's quite right. We need to make it go away. And it's sitting in some committee in Congress. But start to bug these people. Bombard them. They will respond in number. Because recently with the Food Safety Supplement Act, I want to forget him forever, but anyway, he got bombarded with like 3 million emails and phone calls, and he did have to drop it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
Mm-hmm. So, even though they're all, you know, in somebody's pocket, if you hit them hard enough with enough people saying, yo, we don't accept this, they actually still sort of kind of pay attention, whether they can get it done or not. I mean, John McCain is his name. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but...
Oh, no, go right ahead. In his case, he deserves all of it.
Well, I mean, you know, he's got his soul journey, too, and I don't envy it, but bottom line is, Americans spoke up and said, we don't want our supplements, we don't want our herbs, we don't want all of this taken away from us, and in such numbers, they actually shut him down. I mean, I'm sure they'll come back. It's an agenda they have.
They do. No. They always come back around two or three different directions.
But, you know, I'm not sure about Mr. Ike, David Ike. I mean, I have mixed feelings. But one thing I would say he is right on. People, get up off your knees. We so greatly outnumber them.
Yeah.
Yep. And we just have to not give up, not give in, and just keep on keeping on and do whatever it is you can do. To stand up to it and don't get complacent, don't get tired, don't get worn out. And
you've got to start at home. You've got to start by reading labels, cleaning your own body. And when you get healthier, guess what? Your friends are going to come up to you and say, why do you look so good? Where did all that weight go? And if you just learn how to take care of yourself, become a vegan, vegetarian first, then go vegan, don't poison, don't pollute your body, you're going to attract people who are still conscious enough to notice the difference and who strive for bettering their own health and those of their children. And again, when you go into the supermarket and look at these mothers with a shopping cart or two full of poison and a couple of kids in tow, if that doesn't make you sad, you have no heart.
That is true. But, you know, I want to say, too, because I always like to give solution rather than just lay it, you know, noetic science is really into a lot of stuff about the power
mm-hmm.
of intention and our thoughts. And
now, describe that a little bit more, Gwen. Now, Ed Mitchell, I know his work. For our listeners, though, the power of intent. Now, is that getting into a meditative state and putting a thought out there? How would you describe it best for people? It's not just, I wish I had a Coke. Okay.
You just did it perfectly.
Thank you.
It's sitting and putting a thought of intention, period. And it has meaning, it has weight. And so instead of being in the victim state of, oh, these bad guys are doing, and we have to recognize and do the best we can to mitigate, but that's just as powerful of a thing that anybody can do. You know, the collective consciousness is powerful. And so if we put this thought and this intention, I'm not trying to get the new age airy-fairy, you know what I mean? But this stuff has scientific meaning, and the noetic scientists are studying it. It has weight, literal mass. Okay, so if that's all you can do is take 5 minutes and put out an intention, a thought, and what for this to just go on and to give us back our old, flawed but beautiful, natural ways of being, well, then so be it.
Okay, who do you, we just have a minute left, who do you find to be, perhaps for people who are listening in for the first time and they're saying, okay, I want to take the first step, who are some of the people you direct them to? Let's talk nutrition and diet here. We just have a minute, maybe even less, but where do they go? Now, I tell people, look, there are wonderful vegan cookbooks. Get a couple of those.
Oh, yeah, go to the health store. Most good health stores will have a huge section on cooking and diets and, you know, and I think for each individual, just go through them and see which one resonate with you. Because there's people like Sally Fallon at the Western Price, and she's like, eat a lot of meat, eat a lot of butter.
No, Sally and I don't get along.
Well, no,
in
I
that
think
regard.
She's really well-intended, though.
No, she is. Her intentions are fine.
But she's really coming from the heart. My point is, you will find, if you let your instincts kick your brain off the bus and just let your instincts guide you to that which you resonate with.
Well, you can pick it up and actually feel it, too, if you tune yourself upright.
There you go.
What's between your ears is a computer that gets viruses, that has hard drive breakdowns and all kinds of things. That's not your real brain.
No.
Your real brain is your heart mind. It's right down there in your solar plexus. That's the true brain. That's it.
I'm going to throw something at you before you jump on me. Read Dr. Michael Gershon's work called The Second Brain.
Oh, I know
another
about the
whole
heart.
Area of discussion.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah,
because
it's wonderful.
Of just what you addressed, the gut, the solar plexus.
There it is. All right, my friend. Thank you so much for the time. You've got a lot of friends out there.
Well, I love
appreciate
them back.
It. Okay. Thanks, Gwen.
And thank you, Jeff. God bless you.
Thanks. Take care. All right. Okay. We'll pause, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll rejoin you in just a few minutes.